We serve a mighty God, able to save. Talk about Jesus. We are talking about Jesus. You know what we're going to finish talking about? We're not going to finish. We're going to continue talking about what Jesus said. Part 4. And I don't know if we'll ever get through what Jesus said. But before we start, I got to have two contestants. And I tell you, Jared, since I've used you this morning, Jared Mashburn, come on down. Come on back down to the front. And let's see. Leo. Can Leo hear me out there? Leo Munger, come on down. Just stand right here in the front. If you're probably too young to remember The Price is Right. You remember The Price is Right? Okay. Come a little bit closer. Stand right there at the corner of that table, and you face this big, gentle bear right here. His name is Leo. And what we're going to do, we're talking about what Jesus said, but right now you need to listen to what the pastor says. Remember that? You remember Simon says? All right, when pastor says, you do what I say, okay? Just simple instructions. When pastor says, you do. Pastor says, stand on one foot. Pastor says, clap your hands. Pastor says, raise your hand. Pastor says, raise your other hand. Pastor says, stomp your feet. Sing hallelujah. Pastor says, what did pastor want to say now? Pastor says, say Jesus. Pastor says, jump. Pastor says, turn around. Pastor says, clap your hands. Stomp your feet. Pastor says, touch your ear. Touch your nose. Pastor says, touch your right ear. Pastor says, move your mouth like yeah. All right, y'all sit down. Ooh, Lord. I ran out of things to say. I tell you what, I picked it. Okay, y'all win. Glory to God. They done good, didn't they, Reed? They sure did. They followed instructions. Hey, he's in the military. He knows how to follow instructions. And Leo, he head usher here. Leo's got a lot of hats that he wears out there. So he knows what Jesus says, what pastor says. Don't do nothing until he says it, right? So congratulations for coming down here and being a blessing. And starting here on part 4, the Lord gave me this keynote scripture out of John 12, 49 through 50. Jesus saying here, speaking here, this is in red. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment." See, Jesus didn't say nothing unless the Father says, "Do this." "What should I say and what I should speak? And I know that his commandment," look, anything that God says is life everlasting. It's a covenant. "Whatever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me," Jesus said, "so I speak." And Jesus spoke volumes, so much that we've got a canon here, a canon that's been written, a holy canon. Written out. Now, Jesus said a lot more than what's written down for us. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit. But when we want to understand the Word and minister the Word and teach the Word, we need to find it in the Word. Now, the Holy Spirit's there to confirm the Word and manifest Jesus to us. So this is why we have instructions. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's there to confirm what Jesus and the Father have said. So let me get over to where we're going to start today. Because I'm not going to, if you want to catch up on where we are, you need to go back and listen. Go to wofwc.org. You can catch all of our YouTube videos from probably 2 years ago. I need to go back and see when we started. I know it started out there in that parking lot. 2020, we was having a drive-in Sunday service. Hallelujah. Man, we didn't let no COVID stop us. We stepped back a little bit, and kind of like, you know, Matt Dillon in Gunsmoke. You know, when a challenge arises, you know, he step out to the street. You watch Gunsmoke, Tammy. She's kind of wondering where I'm going to go with this. But he had two guns. You know, Matt Dillon, he'd love you. But if you coming against his town, he'd have to take you out. He'd have to bring those guns. So we had to step back. COVID tried to take us out. But we got a word. We got our assignment from God. He said, preach the gospel. Amen. Preach the gospel. Had a drive-in service for 8 weeks. We was out of this building for 8 weeks, and we went back in trusting God. Amen. That's what we got to do. We just got to trust God. And if we'll get out here, sometimes, and that takes a step of faith. When it looks like they're falling dead all around you, we got to know what Psalms 91 says. It shall not come near thee. I got hit with COVID Christmas for 2 years. It just showed up. It showed up in my body at Christmas Day. I ain't expecting it this year. Amen. I ain't expecting it, period. But when it came, I fought it. I fought it with faith. I fought it with the words, with the word of God. Amen. And I'm believing I got a strong immune system. Amen. You want some of my blood, I give it to you. I take my plasma. You can have it. It might cost you a little bit because I don't like giving blood. I gave some, but that's a big needle they use for that stuff. So what I was talking about, we went in Genesis and started in Genesis 1 talking about what God had said and then how that the devil likes to get in there and twist what God has said. And we went through Genesis 1, got over to Genesis chapter 2 a little bit, been in Genesis chapter 3. But we're going to pick back off where I ended last Sunday in Genesis 1:26. Let me get there, Kes, if you pull it up on the screen. Genesis 1:26. And it says, and God said, this is day 6 here, let us make man. I started on a good day today, right? Now man is mankind. When he made Adam, he made male and female. Let us make man in our image. This is God. This is God the Father, God the Son. This is the Trinity speaking here. Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Word. Jesus is the Word. He didn't have a body. He was the Word. God has a spiritual body. He's a Father. He sits on a throne, a physical throne, Wanda. Our Father created everything in this world. His name's Jehovah God. And he's in three persons, the Son, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them, see right there, he said man, but it's them, mankind, let them have dominion, have authority over the fish. Now, God's already created all this other stuff. He created fish that's in the sea. He created the fowl of the air, the birds, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps. And I tell you what, there's a lot of ants, they creeping out here on our property at home. There's ants everywhere. Me, you knock the sand off, there's millions of those. And they, when they bite, they hurt. I was out here weed eating a couple weeks ago, and I hit that. There's a big old bank up there by the curb, and I hit it with my weed eater. And they got on my leg, and they were stinging. I knocked them off, and 2 days later, it looks like little pimples popping up. Those fire ants. But see, that's the curse. That stuff used to not bother us. We still have authority over them. Amen? But they used to not bite you. This whole earth has been cursed, and God's got to start with a new one. And in it's going to be, I'm sure, animals and things that he created again, but they ain't going to hurt us no more. The lion's going to lay down with the lamb, and we're just going to be able to go into a bear cave and just say, hey, what's going on, bear? Let me check you out, and just rub him and just put him to sleep. That's the way we're going back to, because God created everything for our good. So that's Genesis 1:26. And I'm contrasting today because we got to focus on what God has said. Well, Mama said. Well, if Mama said what Jesus said, the way God said it, then Mama, all right, Mama, I'll agree with you. Because Jesus told us. He said, told his disciples, you got to forsake your mother, your brother, your sister, and you got to pick up your cross and you got to follow me. Now, Jesus wasn't saying you got to forget about him. He just said, whatever, I got to be top in your life. I got to be first in your life. Because if you'll put God first, that relationship with your mother and your father and your brother and sisters will be so good. Amen? Because God, Father, knows best. So Genesis 1:26, Adam didn't have to plant trees. When God breathed into him the breath of life, he woke up. You know what he looked at? He saw God face to face. He saw the Father face to face. Just like a baby, newborn baby. That baby can see. I can't remember back that far, but I saw Mama. I'm sure I saw Mama. I don't know. It might have been the doctor first slapping me around a little bit. I don't remember him. But I bet Mama remembered that doctor because she probably had to write his name on a check, I'm sure. But Adam, he saw the Father. And he didn't, and then he started looking around all these trees. Everything was good. Man, it was good. The air, man, the temperature was just right. Man, he was just right. All of them trees, they already had fruit on them. Apples were already on the apple trees, Carrie. Plums were on the plum trees. Everything was producing. Come on. Everything was giving life. God provided everything that we need. Man, just wake up in the morning knowing God has provided everything for you. God, if I read, God hasn't changed. Now, the covenants have changed. Man's perspective of the Bible, of the Word, changes. See, a person that doesn't have a covenant with God, doesn't believe in God, they don't want you to be provided for. They don't want you to have things. They want it all. They want it all. But God said, I put enough in this earth for everybody. And that includes the cows, the pigs, the chickens, everybody. There's enough. They were all created and producing fruit. All Adam, mankind had to do was partake of what was already done. But also, you know, God's just getting started. He's going to give Adam something to do, too. This ain't a free ride. Come on, when you say free ride, work is a four-letter word that God says is good. It's good. It's not good to man be alone. That's a good word. But it's also good that we work. Adam, I got something for you to do. Likewise, in the new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Pull that one up for me, Kelsey. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All we had to do was partake of what was already done. And God said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what was we just singing? In Christ alone. Come on. He's a new creature. All right, now, y'all hearing Andy Griffin. Y'all hearing Andy Griffin? Y'all hearing a guy named Ernest T. Bass? Anybody going with me now? Creature. I'm a new creature. In Christ Jesus. I'm a species. Once I got born again, say born again. Born again doesn't just mean you come and just say a line on a verse. It means you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe in your heart, not with just your head. You hear with your head, but you believe in your heart that's God's only Son, and that He died. He took on His body all the sin of all mankind, went to hell, let it loose. He became the scapegoat. Jesus became that scapegoat that back in the Old Testament, that the priest would take the sins and he would put it on that goat, and that goat would go out into the wilderness. Jesus went to the wilderness. He went to hell, and all those sins on the third day were left there. Glory to God. He became sin. Jesus died because the wages of sin is death. He died, but He lives forevermore because He rose from the grave. When He rose and you put faith in what He did and you call upon Him as Lord, you become a new creature. Now, you look the same on the outside, but you will change. One day, you're going to change. Hallelujah. God's going to change this flesh. He's going to make it immortal. Right now, it's mortal. It's subject to the curse because this body is not alive unless I'm in it. Come on. The body's only alive as long as Robert, the spirit man's on the inside. And Robert, the spirit man, 23 years ago was dead. I was a dead man walking in a body that was dying too, but I was young. I was younger back then. But just because you're young don't mean you're still not going to die. The prophet said, the man said, I have been young and I have been old, and I have decided that God is true. His word is true. Amen. The sun's going to rise. It's going to go down. Seed time and harvest is going to happen. But once you get born again, once you put faith in Christ, you become a new creature. Not on the outside, on the inside. See, if I could take a knife like an onion, I could take off the layers. The first layer would be your body. And then once I get into your body, I'm looking for Jared. I'm looking for Elaine. And I can't see you with my physical eyes, but there's a spirit man in there. He's a spirit man. And once you get born again, once you put faith in Jesus, He comes alive. He's been sealed by the Holy Ghost. There's Christ's spirits on the inside of Elaine, which makes her a new creation in Christ. She's in Christ and Christ is in her. And on the inside, she's been changed. Her spirit man is alive. The candle was dead, but somebody, Jesus is the light of the world. And when you get born again, that candle, he lights your candle. And you become a new creature. Old things, say old things, are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if it goes on to say, and all things are of God in the beginning. Once you get born again, you go back to the beginning. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, before the curse. Now, the curse is still in the earth, but you're in the earth. You're in Christ. And see, Jesus has destroyed the curse. Jesus became a curse for us. Curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature with a new feature. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the main feature is Jesus. He's the main character in my life. Hallelujah. He makes all things new. He takes the old man and he's gone forever. You got to bury, he's been buried in the center of the earth. That old man, that old nature, say old nature, is dead. Once you get born again, all things are made new. Now, this is why you get in the book and you find out what you've been made into. I've been created in the image of God. Amen? So when God looks down here and sees Wanda, he sees Jesus in Wanda. The covenant. She cut a covenant with Jesus. And God sees her righteous. God sees her holy. God sees her prosperous. God sees her in Jesus, in Christ. Jesus has already provided everything, and all we have to do, and this is the hard part, this is the battle of faith, is receive it by faith, what's already ours. I have motorcycles out there. I have houses out there. I have lands out there that God has provided for me. For me and for you. Because he gives us the desires of our heart. Now, all of you guys might not like to ride motorcycles. That's why you're different than me. Amen? We all like to drive different cars. I'm going to have another 1967 GTO, candy apple red with white pinstripes, 4-speed on the floor, ready to go. It's going to have wide tires on the back, and I'm going to ride. Amen? It's coming back. It's in the earth. Amen? It came from the earth. Metal, steel comes from the earth. We need to enter. Here's that faith. It's a done deal, but we have to enter into the rest of the Lord. Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." A rest. And you have to labor. We have to labor to get into that rest. Because the world don't want you to rest in Christ. They want you to struggle and to toil to be a Christian. And you got to struggle. You got to be poor to be a Christian. No, you don't. The more I have, the more I can be a blessing to others. You got to balance it on the scales. Come on, you got to balance it. I know mama will, if I had some things, I would have blessed my mama with some more things. If I had, I would have took care of her in ways that I wanted to. And I'm going to have that opportunity when we get back. Amen. My mama went to every state in the United States with her friends, traveled. After she had a major heart attack, she retired. She never had a bank. She never had a debit card. She didn't use credit. She used wisdom. Amen. In other words, when she got a check, she paid what she needed to and she put back some money. And she put back and she put back. She knew she was going traveling that 1 or 2 weeks out of the year. And she was a stickler for saving money. For that. And the bank didn't get none of her money. You know what I mean? Because they didn't get interest off of that. That credit card, they didn't get no interest. Well, I'll give them 3%. That's my 3%. Amen. And she went and did, according to the word of the Lord. She went to wherever she went. They went to every state, went to Hawaii, took a cruise to Alaska. I got pictures to prove it. You know what? Mama raised 5 kids before that, a single mother. Daddy was alcoholic. Daddy was abusive. Mama divorced daddy. That's good. Daddy beating on your mama, get out the house. Amen. God can change people, but if he's beating you up, get out the house. Amen. Jesus don't beat the church. He don't beat the bride, neither should you. Get out of that relationship. And mama started living. I said, mama started living. She started going to church, started taking us to church. She started giving. Amen. She started giving to the Lord. And everything that she wanted to do, she got done. And she had more. She had her, all her debts were paid when she left this world. Owed no man nothing but to love. And now she is living in paradise with Jesus. Waiting on us. Amen. So, but I told the Lord, if mama can do it, baby son can do it. I want to go to every state preaching the gospel. And coming back here, I ain't going to leave Concord. I'm just saying, Lord, send me. He said he was going to send me. That's the way I want to make it. Everywhere she stepped, I want to step preaching the gospel. And I'm not saying mama wasn't a witness, but my mama went on vacation. I won't go to work. I'm going to be out there working. She wasn't working. She was on vacation. She worked many, many years. Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. My siblings had to make sure I got to school because mama had to be at work. Amen. And she had to rely on the older brothers and sisters to get me up and get me going to school. Thank God for brothers and sisters. So we're talking about this rest. Let's just camp here a little bit on this rest. It's called the Sabbath rest. This verse reveals, Hebrews 4:9 reveals what this rest is that the writer had been speaking of. It's ceasing from our works the way God did after creation. Remember the Sabbath day? He rested. Was God tired? What was he doing? He was finished. Amen. He was done. All creation was done. 6 days, he got it done. God got it done. He did it right. He did it tight. He did it right. All the trees had the seed in them, in the fruit. All that had to be done was planted in God's dirt. Amen. Say God's dirt. That's God's dirt. And so this ceasing is from our works the way God did from his work after creation. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth, I believe that. God created the heavens and the earth. Did they appear? Did they just appear? Yes, when he said, light be. Light has been becoming ever since. There's places, telescopes, man's made, Hubble telescopes, I forget what they put names, big ones. Big telescopes out there that's probably as big as the Dallas, Texas Stadium. To see as far as they can see out there, and they still can't see it all, Randy. Still can't see everything God's created. Light is still creating galaxies out there. Just as far as your sins, as far as the east is from the west, galaxies God has got for us from eternity to explore. Man, you think a 1967 GTO, something, wait till we get some of these spaceships and we go out here. You've seen the Jetsons. Anybody watch the Jetsons? We're going past Jetson. We're going past that. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be. Keith Moore gave testimony. You know, Keith Moore, he likes to ride motorcycles too. And his dad, now, Keith Moore, he's got two churches he pastors. Faith Life Church, good Bible teacher, solid Bible teacher. And talking about things you deal, things you go through. And he's a pilot. He's got his pilot's license. He's got a plane. Because God sends him places that you got to get there fast. And anyway, his dad, I think this might have been maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that Keith wanted to bless his dad, took him on the plane, taking him with him wherever they're going. Keith's driving. He's the pilot. He's flying the plane. His dad has a major heart attack, stroke, dies on the plane. Keith has to fly the plane. He can't just get up and hug daddy and be over there and consult. You know, his dad has passed. He's the pilot. That'll rock your boat sometimes when you really believe. That question won't come out, why now, God? And these are questions that you have, but God can answer the questions for you. And Keith said it took a while, but God gave him a dream. Gave him a dream. It's in the Bible. In the book of Acts. Day of Pentecost. He said, they'll dream dreams, have visions, sons and daughters. Not every dream's from God, but God gave Keith a dream, and he saw his dad in heaven. And his dad pretty much told him, son, I'm fine. I'm okay. Because he didn't know if all those questions, if I would have invited my dad, if I hadn't invited him, he wouldn't have been on the plane. This, you know, all these questions that go through your mind. But God gave him a dream. He saw his dad in heaven. He says, everything's all right. But also, on his trip there, Keith said he rode something similar to like a motorcycle, but it was fast. And you got to know Keith Moore. He likes fast cars. He likes fast motorcycles. But he said it didn't look like none of the motorcycles down here, but he said, I was riding it. And he said it was fast and it felt good. Amen. So there's things beyond what our mind can even comprehend. The Bible says, if when you love God, there's going to be things, God's got things stored up for us that we can't even comprehend. Our hearts don't, we can't even imagine that God has so much good in store for us. But see, the devil wants you to forget about all that. He wants you to focus on the problem you're dealing with right now. See, the devil always wants you to focus on the problem. Because he knows if you focus on the promise of God, you'll forget about the problem. Amen. Because Jesus had a lot of problems when he was on this earth. He had a lot of problems. But he focused on what the Father said. What is the Father saying? And that's what we've got to do. It hadn't changed. We've got to focus on what the Word is saying today. If you messed up yesterday, forget about it. You can't go back to yesterday. But Jesus is in your today. So get on. Amen. Get up and go on. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth, he did it in a unique way that many people have not understood. And I'm not saying I understand it all. He didn't just create trees, plants, and animals. He created them in a way that they could procreate the seed in the fruit bearing forth. I learned some of this in school. I can see it taking place in my house. Our apple tree we got because we just don't get out there and get the apples picked up, and I have to mow over them. I pull the blade up a little high. They attract bees and butterflies, so I go through there pretty fast when I'm on that thing. But the process is, if nobody's there to pick the fruit, what happens to it? Falls to the ground. Now, Mama, when she was here, she rented from my brother. He had a lot out there, and she had pecan trees. About two or three pecan trees. Mama loved pecans. Pecans, whichever suits you. But but the squirrels liked them too. Hearing is a battle. Mom, in her later days, Mom wasn't as fast as she used to be. And them squirrels, they pretty fast. But see, those squirrels, what do? If you watch them a lot, and I remember my Papaw Burke. I can remember in his later years, he left us some tape recording. You know, he knew his time was coming short. He wanted his grandkids to know his voice. And that was the old reel tape, Jim. That was the old reel. They had on a big old cedar chest, looked like, but it was a radio. He recorded. He used to sit. I remember watching him. I remember he'd sit in front of the kitchen because his wife had already passed on. He'd sit there in that window. He'd cook him some grits. I mean, rice in a pot, maybe an egg, have him a cup of coffee with a saucer. Drink up coffee with a spoon. He'd watch the squirrels outside. Watch what they were doing. And then he would record and talk about them squirrels and relate it to heaven, about the Word. You know, he left us some little things to remember him by. And I remember that. And Mom would talk about them pecans. She said, "You got to go out there and help me get them picked up, them squirrels. Or getting them, they're fast. They're eating my pecans." But you know what the Lord showed me? If Mama wasn't there, that's out in the woods. How do pecan trees reproduce? That pecan's got to get in the ground, right? Them squirrels, there's a lot of squirrels love pecans, but guess what? What do they naturally do a lot of times with all of them? They don't eat them all at one time. They bury them things. What are they doing? They're planting them. And God, in his infinite mind, will just, every now and again, he'll touch that squirrel's brain. And that squirrel can't remember where that nut's at. Next thing you know, you got pecan trees come up out of the ground. See, all God has to do is just touch his brain for a minute. That squirrel will be like, "Where'd I leave that nut?" Up comes pecan trees. But see, but God makes sure he supplies enough for the squirrels. See, he always has more than enough. But God just shows me that's how he uses his creation to plant, to procreate. More than enough. There's always more than enough. If you hunt squirrels, I used to hunt squirrels, that's okay. Just don't do it for sport. Put them in a pot. I quit that because I didn't like to skin them and clean them. And they're good to eat, and we'll get about that later. But how did we jump from that? We went wow on that. Then from squirrels helping the world to grow to kill them and eating them. Man, we changed covenants pretty quick, didn't we? But you're not in the squirrel class. Come on, you in the God class. I hate to break this to you, but squirrels don't have spirits. Say spirit. They have a soul, just like your dog, and they have a body, but they don't have a spirit because they're different. God didn't breathe into the squirrel. He breathed into the nostrils of Adam, his spirit into mankind. That makes us different. That's why we can eat squirrels. My God, you don't think God would make us eat each other, would you? No, God forbid. I know I'm breaking hearts right now. God gave us these animals for love, and they have a soul. They love. My God, you think they're almost human sometimes, the way they act, but they're not. You're different. But that doesn't mean you treat your dog different than you treat your wife. Because God's love is the same. You love that. Now, you don't love the dog more than you love your wife. Don't get that out of balance. Come on. I heard some spirits out there, some minds out there. You better take your wife out to eat and feed the dog as you leave. Don't feed him first and your wife over here hungry, Randy. Come on. Better make sure she's taken care of first, right? All things in order. Decently in order. Hallelujah. So that's just something God just showed me, how he speaks to you through the creation. He says, consider the ants. I've been considering them here lately. They're everywhere. They're busy. They're busy bees. Man, they don't get a day off. They're working. Thank God. If they go on strike, guess what? We don't have honey. Bees. We don't have a lot of things. If the bees decide one day, you know what? I don't like the way the humans are treating us. I think we're going to take a couple of weeks off. We're in trouble. Whoa, we better be glad they don't have a spirit. Come on. We better be glad they've been programmed by God to do what they created to do. And then they die. You know, they work hard. If you get stung by a bee, what happens? His innards come out. He dies. But what is he doing? He's sacrificing for the hive. That big old guy's coming. Sting him. What? God put that in there. Now, it got cursed. It got messed up, you know. But still, got to protect the queen. Come on, got to protect the queen. Hallelujah. We're going down paths uncharted. God did things in a unique way that people have not understood. All creation cries out, there's a God. And a lot of times, that's what happens. Mankind tries to figure out God instead of just trust God. And that's where they get in trouble. They blame God instead of love God. See, God didn't just create the trees. He made them to pre-create. That means that he's not making anything new down here on this earth. It's all been created for us. No new plants, trees, animals. They've all been here from creation. Instead, his original act of creation was done in such a way that he has been resting ever since. Man, God did it right. Before he spoke, he had already planned everything. And when he said it, the Holy Ghost didn't say, but God, the Holy Ghost made it happen. Man, he created Pluto. You know, we gave him the names out there, but God's the creator. And God did it so perfect and so complete that God has not had to create anything since. He's just resting. Amen. Just resting, waiting for all this. Now, he's going to give command one day. It's going to be sound the trumpets. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow the trumpet. Rapture of the church. Because God's got to start over new because of this creation. So I just wanted to camp out here now. I think that's where we're going to finish up today. Talking about this rest, because this rest is important. To cease from your labors and enter into God's labors. Amen. Into covenant, into that covenant relationship. See, the Old Testament Sabbath, we're talking about the Sabbath, that Sabbath day rest, it was a painting of a picture. It was only a type and shadow of the New Testament rest. Pull me up Colossians 2:17. Now, today you would have a hard problem casting a shadow on something. Because to cast a shadow, you got to have sunlight. Sunlight. Think on this, Jared. In heaven, there is no shadow. But God is sun. God is light. But he doesn't cast, because the Bible says there's no darkness in heaven. See, shadow is a darkness of things to come. When we get there, he is there. He is the light. He's not casting the shadow. I am that I am. In there, there's no darkness in heaven. What you see is what you get. Amen. And when you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. You get what you get. So if you want to get around Jesus, you want to get blessed. If you want to get around Jesus, you're not going to be hungry. You get around Jesus, you're not going to be poor. You get around Jesus, you're going to be blessed. Blessed, blessed. Come on. Wise men showed up at his when he was 2 years old, bringing him gifts of frankincense, myrrh. Did they say three wise men? No, the Bible says wise men brought gifts, bearing gifts. Amen. There's more than three. Back then, there were caravans. I'm not going to tell you the number, but Jesus was provided for. God's Son was taken care of. This earth provided for him. Gold, silver, frankincense, myrrh. It goes back to the beginning. All the gold, silver I put in the earth. God knew man was going to make a system out of it, but God's system never fails. Amen. Where somebody will treat you bad, God will have 10 people that will treat you right. But what the devil wants you to focus on the one person that treated you bad. Why? So that spirit will get in you, so you'll go treating people bad, and bad produces bad. And God's trying to get you, turn you from sad to glad. So you got to get away from the bad. Amen. Actually, you got to bless the bad. Pray for the bad. Bless those that hurt you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Why? So that you will receive a blessing. And so they'll get blessed. Amen. Bless your enemies. I don't want to. I don't want to today, Lord. Come on. That's called, I got to rest. I got to cease from my labor. I want to hurt them, Lord. You got to cease from your labors and enter into his rest. Let God be the vindicator. Amen. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And what's he going to pay them with? Forgiveness, mercy. Now, if he's out now, somebody's out to kill you now. Now, he's not going to let, you got to understand, but God's out to bring mercy and forgiveness. But there's also judgment. But that's the last resort God uses. Come on. That's the last. But we also sang in this song that God has poured his wrath on Jesus. See, God's not angry with mankind. He settled that anger on Jesus. He took that wrath and put it on Jesus. And now God's not calculating our sins. He's not imputing our sins to us because they've been put on Jesus. But there's only a short time to where the sin's got to come back if we don't receive Jesus. Once Jesus is gone, then when we leave this earth, when the church leaves the earth, sin's going to be taken account then. Wrath is coming. Judgment's coming on this earth. We ain't seen judgment. We ain't seen God's judgment on this earth. When hell comes and hits this earth the size of, my God, the Bible says they're big. Hailstones, that's God's judgment. We see in pebbles. See, that's the devil. See, God, the devil wants to do all this destruction. He comes up with pebbles. When God destroys something, he does it. He's got to do it. But that's not his desire for us. Amen. This place has got to be destroyed. But God wants to save people. He's out to save people. And that Sabbath rest is Jesus. Jesus is that Sabbath rest. Colossians 2:17 says, which are a shadow. This rest was a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. God prepared a body, the Lord's body, to take on the sin of the whole world. So Terry wouldn't have to. So I wouldn't have to carry that sin. See, I've been infected with sin, but Jesus wasn't. Jesus never sinned. He became sin. He took our place. God took our place. That's what we started out. The Lord prophesied. He's given us a place. He's given us Jesus. Jesus is our safe place. Amen. When we come to Jesus, we're safe. Quit working in your work and rest in Jesus' work. The work of the cross, Calvary. It's all been done. It's all been done. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to finish this paragraph. Can I finish it? I don't know. I can't peek outside. We might have a little bit of sunshine. We got sunshine out there, Leo? We got sunshine, so we could go outside and we could cast a shadow right now. What is a shadow? It is not the real person or thing. It's a shadow. Some are big, Some are small shadows. But it gives us information about the real person or thing. Got a little bit of information. What's going on? If I was around the corner of a building so that you could not see me, but you could see my shadow, and you're looking for it, if you're playing hide and seek, sun's out, you've got a little advantage, depending on where you're at, because you can cast a shadow. It can give you a lot of information. It could tell you if I was moving or standing still. Remember the rabbits used to make? Give me a shadow, put the light on me, little rabbit finger. I wasn't real creative, so I know very little sign language. It could tell you if I was closer or moving away. It could provide you with vague information about what I look like. But it's only a shadow. If I walked around the corner, was in full view, it would be crazy for you to hug my shadow when you got the real thing. Amen? The real thing. Its only value is in the way it represents me. I would be the one you would want to greet and talk to. Likewise, the Sabbath, that Sabbath rest, and the other four things listed in Colossians 2:16. Go back to Colossians 2:16, Kelsey. There's four things Jesus talked about. Let no man therefore judge you, Paul talking, let no man judge you in what? Meat, drink, or respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, these are types and shadows of the real thing when Jesus came. This was the Old Testament Sabbath. They kept it until the real deal showed up, when Jesus showed up. Those who cling to the shadow, keeping that Sabbath day holy, they're still, and we're not judging. We're just saying they're hugging, they're hanging on to the shadow. Jesus has came. The sun has shined. The new day has sprung. Amen. Jesus came to his own. The day of visitation, he came. Son is here. Son Jesus is here. Cast away the shadow and cleave to the sun. Amen. Then your life will really begin. Amen. No more shadow. Jesus is here. Those who cling to the shadow are missing the real person of Jesus and the rest that is ours in Christ alone. The sacrifice. It's all in him, Terry. It's all in him. So if it was not the reality itself, the Jews were commanded to take one day off out of seven and devote it to worshiping the Lord as an act of faith that God was their source. If God says, if you do this, I'll do this. This is the Old Testament. If you take one day off and rest. In the natural, this didn't make sense. Chick-fil-A understands it. Come on. A lot of times I'll be going by there, I say, let's go to Chick-fil-A. They'll say, Dad, they closed on Sundays. I say, praise Jesus. Amen. My flesh wants to say, I want chicken. Well, go to Popeye. Because Chick-fil-A is taking their day off. Because God said, rest. And Monday, there'll be double the people show up. Hungry for chicken that they couldn't get on Sunday. And Popeye just don't make it like Chick-fil-A. Why? Chick-fil-A believe they trust in God. Amen. God will make your chicken even taste better. Yes, he will. Amen. You'll have a fat chicken. If you're growing chickens, they'll be plump. We don't have no skinny chickens. Where was I at? Y'all don't have the paper. So in the natural, this didn't make sense to take a day off. Man, Lord, we're prospering here. We're making money. But if they didn't work every day, they wouldn't prosper as much as those who did. But that's not the way it worked. Because of their faith in the Lord, which was expressed through their obedience to take the Sabbath off. They prospered more than those who worked 7 days a week. Why? God said. That's what we're talking about. What has God said? Well, on to write it down, it don't calculate. God said. He's not going to do it until you do what he said. It ain't going to happen in your life till you do what he said. Just do it. Do what God says. When he says give, give. Period. God was teaching them to rest in the Lord as their source and not their own works, what they thought was right. Thank God he gave us, when he talked about tithes, he gave us a tenth, he gave us a percentage. He didn't say an amount, because that would put us all in all kind of, God be respectful. He gave us a percentage. So if Cecil makes $200,000 a year, he's only got to give 10%. And if I make $1 million a year, I've only got to give 10%. That's just what the law requires. I want to give more. Why? Because I love God and I want to do more. That's just, Jared, when I get my 1967 GTO, I don't want to drive 55. Why? The law says. And when I see the law say 55 and I got horses under the hood, I want to bump it up to about 65. The law strengthens sin. See, the tithe, when God gave that, he wanted to make us, I don't want to give 10%. Jesus said, good, give 20. Amen. What did he say? Jesus said, go the extra mile. So if the law says 10, what? Give 20. Make the devil mad. He owns it all. Due to percentage, if you give 10%, God multiplies it by 100. What happens if you give 20%? Multiplier hadn't changed. God hasn't changed. Well, I haven't seen the 100 yet. Has Jesus returned yet? Don't give up. Get out of the shadow. Amen. See, when you say it ain't happening, you're relying on the shadow. You're relying on your source, not the sun's source. Come on. What has God said? What has he said? He cast the shadow. He showed us Jesus was coming. Now he's came. And Jesus said the same thing the Father said. The tithe was before the law. Jesus says, give. Well, it's not, I don't have to, I'm not under the law. I know you're under grace. Amen. You're under grace. Jesus was under the law, full of grace. And he tithed. Amen. When they said, the religious people said to Peter, does your master not give temple tax? Y'all remember that? Does your master not pay temple tax? Jesus said, come here, Peter. That's just that worldly wisdom. If you're in the house and you're a son, are you free or in bondage? Peter said, we free. If we the sons of the man, we free. Jesus said, yeah, we free. But let's go fishing, come on. Let's just make them happy. Let's not offend men. Let's just go ahead and pay the temple tax. See, Jesus was free. That's his Father's house. He didn't have to pay the tax. But lest we offend somebody, let's just go fishing, Peter. Oh, Peter loved to go fishing, didn't he? So let's just go fishing, Peter. Men out there have their ships have sank. There have been some men out there fishing, and they maybe have been drinking a little bit too much wine, and they fell in, and all their money fell in with them. And Jesus said, come on, Peter, I know where some money is. See, amen, come on. If you go fishing, be sober. Be sober-minded, the Bible says. Come on. A lot of people are wanting excuses why they can do something in the Bible. I want to know why I can't do this. I want to know, amen. Some good message in there. Hallelujah. What has Jesus said? He's still speaking, amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. This is the day that you have made. You created this day. Lord, you finished the day. You finished the work. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for vessels, your people in this church today, Father. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Lord, we have a dash in between when we were born and when we die. But Lord, you don't look at the dash. You look at Christ. We're not living in between that dash. What I want to do, Lord, we're going to live what you want us to do. We're going to live in Christ. And in Christ, there is no death. In a Christian, there is no death. There's only life. We know our body has to be laid down, but Lord, we're just believing we're in the end times. Lord, we think our bodies are going to be changed. We're going to be that generation that, Lord, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, Lord, that we might not have to taste death in this body. That you're going to call us home. You're going to rapture us out of here. But before then, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work you've given us here. preach and teach the word of faith, to make a people ready, prepared for your return. So, Lord, here we are, your vessels. We thank you, Lord, for filling us with your wisdom and, Lord, with understanding. Holy Spirit, thank you for filling us, Lord. Lord, Holy Spirit, fill us with your wisdom. Lord, we'll be knowing as we go sowing. We'll be sowing seeds of life, seeds of blessing. Lord, we'll help people reach their destiny and come to their destination full of joy and peace. Lord, send us as lights into these dark places, Father, to expose the darkness with the glorious gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, to love the unlovely. Lord, to be able to lay hands on the sick and see people healed, to go into places, Father God, where there's nothing but torment and bring peace, to drive out the enemy, Lord, to drive out all those that are against, that are anti-Christ, Lord, to bring in light to those dark places. Jesus, we thank you for your power, for your grace, and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for touching our minds and our bodies today, making us free in this darkness. Lord, we can be free. Sons that are free indeed. And we give you the praise, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for creative ideas and wisdom. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting as we go out into the harbor, we go out into the labor, we go out into these fields, Father God, that we go out to work for you, to see the fruits of righteousness and salvation. People coming to this church, Lord, hungry for peace. Lord, hungry for you, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, to God be all the glory. Is there anything we can pray for you with today? Agree with you today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Dive into the scriptures and ask the Lord what he's saying specifically to you. He'll show you things. He'll reveal himself to you in ways that it'll go past your understanding. Ask God questions. Ask him the whys. He'll show up. He's the Alpha and Omega. He'll answer your question. But if you don't get an answer, don't quit seeking. Keep pursuing. Because he said, those that seek will find. Those that knock, the door shall be opened to you. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Any prayer requests? Going once. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Stay on guard today. Like I say, it is 9/11, and to the enemy, sometimes they just like to come in and just bring havoc on days like this.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10:8-10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.